Hey, welcome to the final episode coming from DragCon London 2023 from Bruikertijd, the Dutch Drag Race podcast about everything drag and drag race related. Now, we are finishing off with an amazing episode, and how can we not finish off DragCon UK any way other than speaking to the three most recent winners of Drag Race UK. First, I'm catching up with Crystal Versace to see what those last 2 years for her have been like. Winning, rediscovering yourself, finding out new amazing creative outlets for herself, and much, much more. Then I am sitting down with Lawrence Cheney to discuss not only what has it been like to get a new career after Drag Race, finding your own path, and also dealing with some of the maybe more disappointing sides of being a Drag Race winner. And then finally, we got to catch up with Denny Beard straight after his win, and it were only a few weeks after Denny had won Drag Race at DragCon, and his booth was filled to the brim with people. Lines were taking over 2 hours, but luckily had a little bit of time for his fellow podcast sisters. And as I've known Denny for a couple of years, it was nice to catch up with a lot of humor, a lot of, you know, self-deprecating humor in there, but also a lot of love for drag, for everything that's been happening to Denny ever since Denny won Drag Race. Once again, we want to thank our sponsor, Mr. Jock, for making sure we got to go to DragCon UK 2023. If you're looking for great underwear, slutty bottoms, nope, not the people, the kinds you wear, a cute fan, or a mug to sip that tea in while you listen to these podcasts, check them out, MrJock.com. On behalf of Frank, David, Marco, and me, GJ, thank you so much for listening, supporting, and sharing these podcasts. It's been an amazing journey. Let's hope we can come back next year to DragCon for even more interviews. We'll be doing a lots more podcasts this year, lots more interviews, recapping seasons. There's lots more to come, so thank you for sticking with us. Enjoy these final interviews with the three most recent winners of Drag Race UK. Starting the day fresh with the KV, Crystal Versace.
The KV's here, day two of DragCon. How are we feeling?
Well, that's my question to you. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I've just basically woken up 5 minutes ago, so here we are. Bam.
You wake up like this? Damn.
Yeah, I know, every day. It's kind of a thing, you know.
So what has DragCon been like for you?
It's been good. I mean, we're day two, so we're literally like not even at the middle yet because the day's just started. So day one was really good. It was really fun. Everyone was really nice, and I was able to get through everyone. So yeah, really good, really good.
And the concept of your booth is amazing. It's basically a tale of 1,000 KVs.
Yeah, go. It's the army of the KVs.
How did you come up with the concept?
It was kind of a reflection of the next world I did, the show I did in the London Palladium. So it was kind of that like futuristic next world of crystal. We just played with that, and we were like, oh, these mannequins, like everything's really chrome. I'm kind of chrome. So it's like sex doll in like digitalized into like a, you know, that. You see it, you get it.
How much work goes into that? How long before did you start? How many people did you have to help?
Oh, don't even get me started. Literally, it's like 2 months of hell. Like trying to make sure stuff is going to come on time because I'm a late minute person. And trying to get everything in budget and not spending too much money. Yeah, it's stressful, but we made it work. The girls were helping me. Yeah.
And it was all the pre-planning was happening while you were off in Australia, New Zealand, and you came to our Amsterdam as well.
Exactly. I was like, manager, go. You can do it all. Sort it out. I'll come back and then I can work on it with you. But for now, I'm jet lagged and I'm trying to get the shows done. So it was trying to balance the two, but we turned it out and we're here. So
yeah, you were in Amsterdam. I saw you there. Yeah. What was that like for you? It was your first time there.
Yeah, Amsterdam was fierce. The air just smells of weed. It's great. Yeah, it was camp. Everyone's really lovely. It seems like a lovely place to live. It's a really nice place. Yeah, we had fun. It was really good.
Yeah. So your game, it looks a little gamey, like a gamey personified yeah. in your booth. What do you do? Do you play video games yourself in your free time? Or is it in, what do you play at the moment?
Well, I recently got into my Nintendo Switch. Me and Anubis and Charity like all went and got one on the season 3 tour. We were like, let's go, and we just all got them. It's quite a camp little thing. I get to like sit on the planes and just like play whatever. So I'm a bit of a gamer when I can, like a bit of Assassin's Creed, a bit of Call of Duty, anything like that. Anything gruesome. Yeah, I love it.
Shooting, killing, punching, you know.
Yeah,
something
I love that.
During the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just let my anger out on the games.
Love it. And of course, 2023 is a new slate for the KV. Uh-huh. What are you getting up to?
Well, I don't even know where to start. We're working on so many projects, very exciting things, stuff that hasn't necessarily been done yet. And I'm definitely going to work on social media because I need to get back on doing, like, a lot of people just want to see makeup and I don't do enough of it. I don't. So I'm sorry. I'm going to work on it. And I'm going to be coming out with TikToks, YouTube videos, all of that shit. So you can really get into the artistry, baby.
Love it. And we just heard that you might be planning some music this year. Mm. So we're big music buffs. We're wondering, how did you pick producers? How did you find producers to work with and to find your style in that?
So we're getting there with, I'm working with producers. I'm not going to say names yet because we're still working around. But yeah, it's a very exciting thing. I've always loved music. Music has always spoke to me. But I'm not going to be like, ah. It's going to be like club beats. Like you get in there and you know the KV's track is about to go off. So, you know, that's where I live for because I live for like Cobra and all that. So I'm like, I'm going to bring out some high sex gorgeousness. And we're going to shut it down in these clubs. So, yeah, it's a work in progress, and it's something I'm not going to rush. But I've been thinking about it for a long time, and I think, yeah, we're starting to get in the progress of it. So, yeah.
And final question, what has been the funniest DragCon story meet and greet you've had so far?
Oh, God. I don't really know. Kind of was a blur. I think I was drunk most of the time. I mean, everyone was really good. I think the funniest thing probably is, like, those masks falling off, because sometimes I could hear one. I'm like, oh fuck, her face has dropped. So I'm like, Lola, my sister, and I'm like, get the face back on now. Her face has fell off. So that's kind of funny when you just see them go whoop. So yeah, work in progress.
Love it, Crystal. We can't wait to see what you do this year. Have fun with Raven later, and we'll come by in your booth and come and see some gorgeousness.
Come and see me, baby. Let's get picky.
That's my microphone.
Look at this zoom.
That's a big one.
Better than
ours,
yeah,
because
box.
It's got
well, yeah,
four XLRs in it as well.
Four, wait. Well,
anyway,
love
on,
it.
Five
fellow
minutes, guys. You're only allowed to ask three questions.
Fellow podcast sister, British icon, and now winner of Drag Race, Denny Beard is here.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing, babe? You look great.
You look amazing.
I know, but I'm paid to look good. You didn't need to look this good.
We need to level up. We're here with our judge queens. We have to keep, you know.
You snap. You look like a snack.
Denny, what has this weekend been like for you?
Absolutely crazy. What you can't see right now is I'm sat in a booth that's dressed like a barbershop, dressed like a chicken on acid, while there's, I don't know how many people there. Let's just make myself look better than I am and say 5,000 people waiting. There's about 60. But still, it's been non-stop, and everyone's so lovely. Oh, God, I burped. Everyone is so lovely here. Like, so lovely. Like, I can't be more anything other than grateful because I don't think any one person deserves this much attention, really. I mean, I am doing a job, you know, at the end of the day. So this is just very nice, very humbling. And I'm so honored that people from all around the world are coming and saying they know who I am. It's nuts. It's nuts. It's nuts, right?
And of course, you're a bearded winner. What does that feel like?
It feels like maybe we're starting to see a shift in what people think drag should be. I never applied for Drag Race because I never thought I'd do well because I didn't think anyone like me had space on a show like that. So what I'm now hoping is we see drag kings and other kinds of drag and maybe some disabled queens and just there's so many people across our amazing community that do drag other than pretty white cis men. And I think I'm showing hopefully a little snippet of trust that different can be good. I'm not saying I'm any of that and that my journey is the same as any of those people, but those people also have a voice and I think hopefully we should see that.
And of course you are, well, not even a triple threat. There's way more. You're podcasting, you're singing, you're an artist. The visuals look amazing, everything. How do you do that all in like time-wise, mind-wise?
I've got to be honest, right now it's because I have an amazing team of people that help me do this. I've done this job 10 years. I've done most of it on my own and with my partner, and now I've got a great management team. I mean, I'm here with like 7 of my friends today, all giving up their time to help run this booth, and I think I'm really lucky that my queer family around me want to see me do well, and I think it's what we do as gays, right?
Yeah, we definitely what we do. And what has been the most hysterical part about everything that's happened since winning?
I can't even say because there's so many amazing things coming out here in the UK. I'm doing lots of television, some acting work.
Are you hosting Eurovision? Do we start a petition?
I don't think you're going to need to start a petition.
Ooh. Are you sitting next to Graham Norton because Ryland is off doing other shit? No, I just want you to be part of Eurovision.
Listen, I think in some capacity I'm going to be.
Love
it. But I can't see any more or any less. But I'm not saying I'm replacing Graham Norton, but I am definitely going to be involved with Eurovision because obviously I'm from Liverpool and it's in Liverpool this year. Are you going?
I have a Eurovision podcast as well. I'm coming.
Bitch, I will see you there.
And I have to ask, what is, you know, it been like with a sisterhood? Because I spoke to Cheddar earlier and there's been a real connection. Yeah, we've just seen Just Maeve crash your booth. What has it been like?
Everyone's crashing everyone's booth. Well, I say everyone's crashing everyone's booth. I've not had 2 minutes to leave. So everyone's crashing my booth, which I'm happy with. But I feel bad for the people who've stood there for an hour and a half and then they get to the front and Silky Nutmeg and Ash Waltz is up and spends half an hour. But listen, it's nice to finally have a sisterhood. I've always kind of done drag my own way on my own, and I have sisters from Manchester and friends and stuff, but this really feels like I've got a web of just people across the world now with shared trauma.
Yeah, kind of. Final question, you were supposed to come to Amsterdam in December, but obviously you won the week before. You had a valid excuse of having...
Well, I was coming, but I got booked on a television show. That's it's not out here yet. And that, I think that's the thing with entertainment. It's constantly changing and evolving.
Are we getting some Denny Bain in Amsterdam this year?
Even if I'm not performing there, I like to have a little break in Amsterdam.
We'll go and drink again.
I don't even want to drink. I want to come. I'm going to smoke some of your finest. And I want to go to the zoo. I walked through this enclosure where all the animals were around me. I was like, I was in heaven.
All right, we'll go. Denny, thank you so much. You look amazing.
Thank
we'll see you
soon.
Thank
you so much. And if you're loving what I do, check out my podcast as well. It's called Gossip Gaze. It's available anywhere that you get your podcast. And I host it with my best friend, Billy, who's actually here today helping me. So check that out and come on board and join my crazy life.
We definitely will. Thanks so much, Denny.
Thank you, baby. See you soon.
After a weekend where the lines have been, I think, the longest for this booth, I finally get to talk to someone I've been wanting to speak to all weekend. Lawrence Chaney, how are you?
I'm good. My nostrils are so tired from all these lines you're talking about. No, it's been amazing. It's been so busy here at DragCon. My voice is destroyed, but it's worth it.
And it's... What has it been like meeting all the fans and receiving all that love?
I cannot believe this many people have wanted to meet me. Honestly, my season came out 2 years ago. You know, we're in January 2023. My season came out in January 2021. And there's been a million winners since and a million seasons. So I am just shocked at the outpouring of love. It's just amazing.
And what has it been like setting out your career since winning, because you've done so much? What was that been like?
It's been tough. I mean, I've won a BAFTA, I have a book, I've been on TV shows. I have my own TV show called Lawrence Chaney's Homecoming Queens.
Where you are making over, I think, Scottish celebrities and just letting them discover drag, right?
Yes, absolutely. We basically give them, because they're celebrities, they've never had a day's peace ever, so we basically give them an anonymity, you know, and it's just amazing. It's so beautiful to see them transform, and it's just so much fun, and it's just been non-stop.
How do you deal with that, with the fact that it's so non-stop?
I don't know. I mean, I don't deal with it in the most healthiest ways. I just talk to my friends, I vent to my friends. I'm not a big party girl either. I look after myself. I'm on time a lot. I was here at 9 a.m. this morning and yesterday to meet everyone. I'm a good girl. I'm a good girl.
And it must feel good to have that support system of your friends still around who you can vent to and just let it all out.
I mean, I feel bad for my friends. The amount of shit I talk to them, they must hate it. But, you know, I just have the most supportive Scottish friends who, whenever I'm feeling like a big superstar and like Beyonce, they bring me back down. They ground me and they say, listen, you're a faggot called Lawrence from Glasgow in Scotland. Remember that. And I think it's served me well.
What has it been like meeting all the fans? Have you had some amazing experiences during the weekend? I've just seen you meet a very little girl who was just completely smitten by you.
Literally about 2 years old. I get terrified around children because I swear a lot. So That's the thing. I worry a lot about me swearing, but it's just been so lovely. People have come from all around the world for this, and it's just insane to meet people from Mexico, from Spain, Italy, Australia. I mean, people have come from everywhere. You know, people have come from West London to here. That's a joke. If you get London, you'll know that that's not far at all. But it's just insane. Insane.
And, of course, you've also been involving your drag. You know, it keeps on evolving since the season. And that must be fun, too, to play with where Lawrence continues in the future instead of sticking to... You could have stuck to the same wigs and the same style, but it keeps growing. It keeps evolving as well. It must be fun to play.
Oh, it keeps growing just like my fucking waistline.
Hey, same here.
COVID.
Depression,
ex-boyfriend, COVID, and gonorrhea. No, I mean, I think evolution's a key part of anything. And listen, I'm gunning to be on an all-winners season. So I am trying to prove that I have the goods. So I hope I'm proving it.
Would you like to then compete against our Envy and Vanessa from Holland?
I think Envy would murder me. So yes, I would love to. I love the Holland girls. Just their kind of sense of sarcasm as well. And the beauty. Can we talk about your two winners? Vanessa Van Cartier and Envy Peru are like the most stunning people in real life. That is not editing. I mean, I look like a fucking potato next to them.
I was there. I was a producer on season 2 of Holland. So I got to see Vanessa in that golden outfit and stuff like that. So I agree. They're gorgeous. But so are you.
She wore that golden outfit to DragCon in LA. Yeah. And I saw it in person. I was like, you bitch. You absolute bitch. Oh.
What inspires you right now, just in general, as life, in or out of drag?
I'm inspired by strong women. In and out of drag, I think women are just... There's so much misogyny in the world, it's awful. And we're living in really tough times. And I just love forward-thinking, forward-speaking women. I just love it.
And, of course, sadly, Scotland did not get Eurovision this year. But, and I mean, we were gunning for you and Lorraine together to host it.
I would have loved that. Me, Lorraine, throwing Lulu. I mean, I would have loved it. But Liverpool was very worthy. And I'm sure Glasgow in Scotland will host it some other time. And it'll be me and Lorraine's moment.
Are you still trying to get in there? I mean, Ryan will probably be hosting. So there's a spot available next to Graham Norton.
No, that'll be Vivian or Danny Beard. Don't get that, you know, because they've got that Liverpudlian twang. Lucky bitches.
And a question, of course, we have to ask, when are you touring the rest of Europe? We want to see you in Amsterdam. Come by us.
I want to come by, but all the promoters I speak to in the UK that, you know, do European tours, they say, oh, well, Lawrence, we're not sure if people understand your humor there. I was like, oh, fuck off.
The Dutch are very crass, very direct, very funny, very subtle, where the joke will land a minute later when you're thinking about it. And that's what you do.
A filthy sense of humor. Listen, I just want to travel the world and tell my shitty jokes. That's what I want to do.
And, of course, the final question, what can we expect from Lawrence Cheney this year? What is coming up?
Well, I'm writing a one-woman show. It's called Lawrence Cheney Overweight and Over It. I'm going to go to the Fringe with it this year, Edinburgh Fringe.
Oh, my God, that is so exciting. I mean, so shows like Six has come from there and other stuff has happened there. You must be very excited on home turf kind of to do that.
Home turf. I'm ready to tear it up. It's only a wee drive from my house, which is so different to anything else I've ever done. It's going to be great. So fingers crossed people like the show.
We're just going to make sure everyone comes and goes and see and buys a ticket.
Yeah, come along, everyone. Come to the Edinburgh Fringe and see me.
And then final question. Lawrence, DragCon is coming to an end. How are you going to take care of yourself after this?
I'm going to put my feet up, run myself a bath, drink some cold medicine, some flu medicine, because my throat is fucked. And I'm gonna meet with the girls tonight. All the Rue girls, we're going to have a drink and have a catch-up as well. It's going to be fun.
Lovely. Lawrence, thank you so, so much. It's been an honor meeting you, and we'll happily have you in Amsterdam because we love your humor.
Stop it. Thank you very much, Lawrence Cheney.